So while I was really looking forward to coming back to Scotland, Advent 3 was not something I was looking forward to, because Church of Scotland doesn't really do joy, does it? You know, Presbyterianism, Calvinism, the Kirk, the Cutty Stool, the Reverend I.M. Jolly, you know, we're not really known for our joy in the Church of Scotland. And we've not exactly had a ball over these last 2 years either, with all the COVID, the lockdown, and then the cost of living crisis that's come up. So where's the joy in our life? So I wanted to begin with a story from the Iona community that really illustrates this problem we have with wondering where an earth joy is. There were two brothers who saw it as their mission in life to cause as much trouble as they possibly could. But they were good at it, so they never got caught. Nobody could prove anything, but usually they were around when something went wrong. Like that time there was paint splashed all over the bus shelter, and one of them was seen with a tin of paint earlier that day. Or that time a bunch of leaves that had been swept up went on fire, and the box of matches had just gone missing from the house. But no matter how many pocket monies were stopped, no matter how many groundings or rows, nothing really worked. So in desperation, in order to try and just do something, the head of the school spoke to the chaplain and said, could you just try and have a word with them, get them to behave? So the chaplain met with the elder one and wanted to reinforce this idea that the omnipresent God can see everything and knows everything. Might make them pause, maybe, if they thought that God was watching over and knew exactly what they were doing. So the chaplain looked at the child straight in the eye and said, where is God? The boy didn't answer, but shifted uncomfortably in his seat. So the chaplain leaned forward and pointed at the child and said, where is God? The boy starts to get really uncomfortable at this point and edging around in the seat. So the third time, the chaplain comes right up nose to nose and says, where is God? And the boy burst out the room in tears and ran away. That night, he held a council of war with his younger brother in his bedroom, and he said, we are in so much trouble. God's gone missing and we're getting the blame. We are told God has come to us that we might have life and life in abundance. We are told that God is joy, and those who live in God's presence experience joy. But for many people, that's not the reality of life. For many people in the world, life is short, is brutal, and is violent. There's wars, there's millions of people across this world who are currently displaced and living in refugee camps. There's places in the world that are rife with famine and poverty and disease. Children are dying every day from hunger or for lack of basic medicine. And here, locally, we have our issues. I mentioned at the start, we've had the COVID pandemic, we've had 2 years of the lockdown and the misery. We've got this cost of living crisis that is unparalleled, and people are really stressed. And there's people who I talk to who say, genuinely, I have to decide between heating or eating. When we look at the world, it's broken, it's hurting. And when we look at people, they're broken and they're hurting. And life for us, it seems so different from life in the kingdom of God, this kingdom that Isaiah described to us in our reading today. So there are times in my life, and I can't speak for you, but there are times in my life where I say, where's the joy? Where do I find joy in this world today with all the things that are going on? Where is this world Isaiah talks about in chapter 35, this world of peace and plenty and happiness and joy, where it's a completely remade world? There's the blind can see, the deaf can hear, there's no more desert, but there's fertile ground, and comfort can be found at every turn. There's no rough path to God. You can just be straight into God's presence without any difficulty whatsoever. There's no obstacle to getting to God. There's no predators. There's nothing geographic stopping you. It's a life of joy, Isaiah talks about, where every single need you have, body, mind, and spirit, is met by God, and you live in joy. And Isaiah tells us this is how life is meant to be. It's how life is going to be one day. How joyous would you be if you didn't have financial concerns, if you didn't have health concerns, if you didn't have bodily concerns, if you had no reason to worry about anything? How much joy would you know? So why is it then, if this is the promise, if this is God's will for creation, then why is it so many of us And I can't speak for you, I'm speaking for myself. Why is it life is so hard and so difficult to find joy? So Advent 3 is a time when we reflect on joy, this most unique event in human history. God coming to us in person. This thing that God has promised for centuries before. This idea that God will come to us and will remake the world and we will know joy. So we have to look at this Isaiah passage in context to understand what Isaiah is actually talking about. Most of the biblical scholars accept that chapter 35 is written while Israel is in exile in Babylon. So by this stage, the Babylonian army has swept into Jerusalem, has utterly destroyed the city, utterly defeated the army of Judah, and has deported the ruling class, the merchants, the artisans, the intellectuals, everyone, has taken them all out and brought them to live in exile in Babylon. So these are God's people, the Israelites, those who were led out of slavery in Egypt, who were formed in the desert, who have settled in the land promised to them by God. They are the light to the nations. They are the guiding path for the world. And from them, salvation will come to all. And here they are living in Babylon. Defeated, captive, subjugated. And prohibited from returning to the promised land. And even if they could escape, how are they going to get there? Because there's miles and miles of wilderness desert between Babylon and Jerusalem. There's no food to sustain them. There's predators to prey on them. So the desert that lies between Babylon and Jerusalem is just as effective as any guard. They are utterly trapped, and they're not feeling joy. Now, if you want to know just how much joy Israel feels in exile, read Psalm 137. You've probably heard it sung by Boney M, "By the Rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept." The Babylonians say to them, "You guys are good singers. You sing psalms of praise to your God. Sing us a song. How can we sing a song to God's praise while we are captive in a foreign land?" They cope by dreaming of the day that Babylon is utterly destroyed. They imagine the joy they will feel when they dash Babylonian children's heads open against rocks. That's not joy. That's the opposite of joy. That's hatred and anger. It's a long road back for them, spiritually, literally, and metaphorically. They're stuck. They're powerless. There's nothing they can do. Where is their joy? And they're asking, where is God? Where is our joy? What is there in our life that we can cling to that gives us hope? Has God gone missing? Has God given up on us? Where is God? Is their cry. It's not how we're meant to live. We're not meant to live like this. We're not meant to live with this anger and frustration. We're meant to live lives of peace and joy. Where is it, Lord? So this is the message Isaiah brings them. Isaiah points their attention from their present situation to the future. As far as Hebrews are concerned, there are two epochs of world history. There is the present age in which they live, and it's the world with all the hurt and the anger and the war and the disease and the deprivation. And then there's the world to come, when God is finally going to act and bring about God's reign, and they will know joy and peace and love. So Isaiah points them to this coming day of the Lord, when God would act and God will bring about God's creation. Isaiah points them to God remaking the world the way God intends it to be. This is the world Isaiah describes, reminding them that God will remake the wilderness into a garden of plenty, will remake humans in such a way that they won't suffer from ailments or illnesses or disease. The bodies that they inhabit that are prone to weakness, to breaking down, to illness, will not be used in the kingdom of God. They will get a new body for this new remade kingdom of God. And we know what that looks like post-resurrection because Jesus, the firstborn of the resurrection, inhabits the resurrection form. You're not going to be in a parched desert. You're going to be in a well-fed garden with water, with food, with plenty to sustain you. There's no predators to attack you. You're going to know peace. You'll have a life of peace and plenty in God's kingdom. And you'll enter God's presence with singing and with joy because sorrow and sadness have no place in the kingdom of God. And that's the message Isaiah gives them as they sit there dreaming of killing children. Remember, God has promised to act. Remember, God will act. You feel removed, you feel isolated, you feel abandoned by God. You are going to live eternally in God's presence. God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you or forsaken you. God remembers you, and God remembers the covenant God made with you, that you will enter into God's kingdom. Do not be concerned for your present situation. Do not be concerned for anything, because in the kingdom of God, death and famine and suffering and hatred do not have the last word. God is going to act and bring about your salvation. So wait, trust, hope, and have joy, because you know your situation is not eternal. You know one day things will change. That is your joy. And history teaches us that they do have to wait, but Babylon is destroyed. They are able to return to Jerusalem and they rebuild it. And true to God's word, at one point in our history, God acts and brings about God's kingdom through the person of Jesus Christ. He doesn't come in majesty. He doesn't come in power. He doesn't come to the rich and the privileged. He doesn't come to the ruling classes. He doesn't come to the temples. He doesn't come to the palaces or the army barracks. He comes to the poor, the marginalized, the hungry, the lame, the sick. He comes amongst those people who don't know joy to show them joy, to show them God's promise is made real. He comes to a people who are oppressed and occupied. He comes to a people that the rest of society will have nothing to do with. And he shows them what life in the kingdom of God looks like. Those who believe in him are gathered by him into God's presence. And as Jesus goes around and ministers to those, he rebuilds Israel around himself. He rebuilds this community of Christ who are fed, who are watered, who are healed, who are cared for, who are welcomed, who are given shelter, who have their spiritual and bodily needs met by God. Their eyes are open to what God is doing amongst them. Their ears are opened to what God is saying to them. And they are saved. They are given this path straight to God through Jesus. They have joy. They live day to day in the very presence of God. They have joy. And no one is excluded. No one is outcast. That's joy. And our joy is this offer is extended to each one of us. That we too, through faith in Jesus Christ, can gain access to the kingdom of God. Right here, right now. With the greatest respect to those who write carols, God is not away in a manger. God is out and about, ministering God's grace to those he meets, giving people life in abundance and sharing the joy of the kingdom with them. And God has entrusted us, the church, with that mission. We need to remember life in the kingdom of God is a life of joy. It's a life unparalleled. It's a life we can't even imagine. But it's a life lived next to God who cares for us and who gives us all we require. So we share our joy with the world. We share that hope with the world. We show them a different way of life. We show them how life is actually meant to be and how it's going to be one day. And that's the challenge, because let's be honest, we don't feel joyous. We might be worried about our future. We might be worried about the Ukraine. We might be worried about Putin's index finger hitting the wrong button. We might wonder, where on earth is our joy? And for goodness sake, I'm not saying to you, be joyful in your suffering. That is not my theology. I don't believe it's the right pastoral response. If you say to me, I'm really suffering, for me to say, yeah, but isn't God great? If I ever do that to you, you have my permission to slap me. Because we need to acknowledge pain. We need to acknowledge that we're hurting and we're broken. We need to sit alongside those who hurt. But we need to remind ourselves and those that we are ministering to that it's not always going to be this way. That it doesn't have to be this way. That poverty, that suffering, hunger, pain, and death do not get the last word. And so today, this third Sunday of Advent, we need to hear these words from Isaiah. We need to remind ourselves of what God has promised to do and what God has done in the coming of Jesus. Remind us of the promises that Christ made to us and the life Christ showed us. Remind ourselves that we're actually living in God's kingdom, even though we might not believe it or feel it. We're in this really strange period of world history where the kingdom of God has emerged and is growing and sits alongside the kingdom of the world. And we're reminded at the very end of the Bible in Revelation that the kingdom of God will eventually encompass all. But we can choose to live in the kingdom of God now. We can choose to live a life marked by knowledge that God has acted, and one day all bad things will be no more. That's joy. God's kingdom present in Dundee. That's joy. God's kingdom present in our lives. That's joy. You might not feel joy, and that's okay. You're allowed to feel hurt. You're allowed to feel angry. You're allowed to feel abandoned. You're allowed to feel sadness and hurt. But as Christians, you must also acknowledge one day all will be well. As Christians, you must remember the words of Julian of Norwich. All will be well. All will be well, and all manner of things will be well. And if Julian can say that while they're burning martyrs immediately outside of her cell, then you too can face your problems knowing that one day God will act. And it's not a joy you might feel in the moment, but it's a joy of knowing that one day all this will pass and we will live in the eternal kingdom of God. That's joy as Christians. Our challenge is to live it and share it in these difficult and desperate times. Amen.